And now it's time for our weekly glance through the pages of the Washington Post magazine, where we often find compelling stories about people making their mark in unusual ways. This week, the magazine introduced us to Dr. Stephen Linton. He's made it his life's work to bring medicine and supplies to North Koreans suffering from tuberculosis. To say it's no easy task in a country with a totalitarian government, a hostility to foreigners, and an active black market might be the understatement of the year. Dr. Linton was kind enough to join me here in our studios to talk about his work and that of the Eugene Bell Foundation. Thank you so much for coming in.
Michelle, it's a pleasure.
Tuberculosis has had a resurgence in recent years, as I understand it. We're hearing more about it. Why is that?
Basically because tuberculosis is a disease of the poor, and for that reason, not a lot of new drugs have come online. There are efforts now, especially by the Gates Foundation, to develop some new drugs, but we're basically fighting a disease with drugs that are decades old, and the germs have developed a resistance to them.
And talk about the medical conditions that patients face in North Korea that make it particularly challenging to fight the disease.
A lack of availability of the drugs, even what there is available, would be one. If someone doesn't receive treatment, proper treatment from tuberculosis, there's a good chance they're not going to make it. And there are a lot of people in North Korea as yet who have not had access to drugs. So getting drugs, the proper drugs there, is one thing. The other thing is, of course, having people properly diagnosed. And finally, if you do have tuberculosis and you do have the drugs, you still need to eat well. So it's a holistic problem.
I have to say that just the fact that someone like you exists is surprising to me. I think people famously remember President Bush calling North Korea part of the axis of evil, not just because of their nuclear aspirations, but also because of the president's belief that as the conditions in North Korea that I think people are starting to become aware of, the sense that the leadership is willing to allow millions of people to starve rather than sort of make concessions to the outside world. So I'm just puzzled by how you are even able to do what you do.
Well, I think a lot of people forget that North Korea is a place where people live. And in every system, there are people who want to help others. And North Korea is no exception. And what you have to do is find the people who want to do something and try to work with them to do it. And thankfully, the North Korean Ministry of Public Health and many of the officials who control entrance and egress for foreigners are very willing to help.
Your family has a long history in Korea. Will you tell us a little bit about it?
My great-grandfather and grandmother went to Korea in 1895 as Southern Presbyterian missionaries, and my grandmother was born there, or one of my grandmothers. She and her husband were also missionaries, as were my parents. So we've been there for over 100 years.
How, and you speak fluent Korean?
I get by.
You're too modest. So how did you start? How did you start? And I'm also curious about how the focus on tuberculosis started. There's so much need there.
I was teaching at Columbia University at the time, and the North Koreans made a general appeal for assistance in 1995. And one of those appeals came to us. And so at first I worked with people trying to develop a system where small NGOs, churches, civic organizations, especially Korean Americans, could donate in a transparent and effective manner. I thought it would end with a research project, but people continued to send checks to our foundation, and so 13 years later, here I am.
How is it that you're able to keep at it when so many other NGOs have left? As the article says, I think accurately, a lot of other NGOs have left in frustration because they cannot battle that bureaucracy.
Well, I think in the beginning there were about 36 U.S. NGOs. There may be six left. I'm not sure. But it's not that we're that much different. I haven't allowed myself to be tempted by trying to work somewhere else. So that's the only thing we do. Plus, our donors are so generous, primarily Korean Americans and now Koreans who live in Korea. They're so generous that I can't say no to these people when they ask me to do work for them.
The article describes how you kind of go toe-to-toe with bureaucrats, and I can't really fully bring it justice. People can read. There's a link. There will be a link on our website to the article if people want to read it in its entirety. I can't fully. But I wonder, how did you come up with this approach? It describes it's almost like this high-level game of chess where kind of they make a move and you make a move. And
yeah, it's always frustrating. Access is one of the biggest issues we have to deal with. And but on the other hand, yeah, if you are sincere and they know you mean no harm, in fact, you're trying to help something or improve a situation they realize is very, very serious, North Koreans, like anyone else, they will cut you a deal. It may not always be the deal you like, but you have to start with what you can get and then work with it.
Is there something you can tell us about North Korea that we would not know that kind of contravenes our expectations, given the fact that you are among, I think, the very few foreigners who spend a bit of time there?
Yeah, I think using the singular pronoun to talk about North Korea as though they were somehow one response to anything would be as problematic as using a singular pronoun to talk about Americans. Every society is extremely diverse, and North Korea is no exception. I think that's one of the things that people overlook the most because of the lack of access.
How do you – I'd like to ask if you ever worry about your own health, given tuberculosis is a highly infectious disease, and you, as the article described, don't wear a mask often. You feel that it inhibits your communication with patients.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I've had tuberculosis twice, not since I've been doing this work, so I hope that I have a fairly high resistance to it. But in the end, I think everything worth doing involves a certain amount of risk. If we set out to do something without taking chances, I think we're not going to get much accomplished. And in this case, the kind of work that we do, you know, the kind of exposure to tuberculosis is a very real threat. But on the other hand, the payoff is so great for so many people that it's a calculated risk I think is worth taking.
What I'm hearing you say is that part of the reason you're successful is that you keep a focus on the task at hand. But do you think you might have any broader lessons for those of us who are interested in sort of big problems and we get discouraged? I mean, there are so many things in the world that we say, oh, you know, this is always going to be this way. There's really nothing we can do. Is there any wisdom you have to offer us about how we can get out of that kind of thinking?
Well, I think rather than starting from a big idea, we need to measure the length of our arm. Our arms are of a certain length, so to speak. There are certain issues that we can deal with easier than others, and certain issues that no matter how much we would like to deal with them are beyond our grasp. And so if you rather than try to dream of how you want to change the world, if you look out and see what parts of the world you can actually access and you do your best to serve at that level, I think if all of us work together on in that kind of a way, the big picture will change. But too many people start big and get discouraged when they realize that they're only limited human beings, as we all are.
So when are you going back?
Probably in May.
Well, good luck to you.
Well, thank you
very
much.
We appreciate your work. Dr. Stephen Linton is with the Eugene Bell Foundation. You can read about his work in North Korea in this Sunday's Washington Post magazine. There's a link on our website, npr.org/tellmemore. Dr. Linton, thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle. I really appreciate it.